The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. Yes, I'm pointing at you and you and you. I got Dom right here with me.
Yeah, baby, what's up, Crudy?
I am literally pointing at you.
I see you, man. It's good to be with you in studio. It's always so much more fun. Good to see you, Rich. Thank you, sir, for everything you do. Our fair audience, thank you for coming along with a political party. Got a big party, literally a political party, going on after this political party today.
It's going to be a busy day.
It is.
I wish I had more pep in my step. I feel like tired Joe. I need to be jacked up, Joe.
You got to get a shot in the ass, man. Maybe work on a cocktail. I'll work on something, you know, during the show. Maybe it can get you fired up. You know, a Mountain Dew or whatever.
I got my Mountain Dew. Let's see if that does it.
You need more than that, though, man. I mean, you're so used to the 3 or 6 Mountain Dews you have every day. It's going to take something a little more than that.
Closer to 3 than 6. I mean, maybe I need 6. I mean, today.
Do you ever think about just getting like a 2-liter and just walking around with it in a paper bag? Just keep you fired up, keep you ready to go.
I've thought about it, but people would judge me. Yeah. In these smaller containers, they don't know how many I've had. So, welcome to the big show. A sad news story, Dom. No recall of Rob Voss?
What?
What sort of a rigged recall is this?
What's going on here, Wisconsin?
So here's the breaking news, and we've already told you. They were moving forward. They had collected enough signatures with 16 to spare. And today, new news at the Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin Elections Commission rejects a second attempt at Robin Voss recall election. This is very disappointing.
Yeah, I know you're mad.
For at least one of the panelists. I've had a lot of, you know, maybe if this was going forward, I'd be more enthusiastic.
Yeah, see?
Molly Beck reports a second attempt to recall Wisconsin state legislature's most powerful leader has failed.
Wah, wah, wah.
Failed, I tell you. The bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission today voted to reject petitions from the Racine County-based group of Donald Trump supporters to trigger a recall of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss by declaring the petition to have too few valid signatures because a portion were collected beyond the time period allowed under state law. Now,
sounds like a paperwork crime to me, man.
It absolutely does. The commission voted 4-2 on the matter with Democratic commissioners Ann Jacobs and Mark Thompson objecting to tossing the effort.
They were down with the recall.
They were. Yeah. Well, they were down with the qualifying petition-wise. Yeah, don't cast the politics on it. Here's a quote. Mark Thompson, friend of ours. These folks have been through 2 recall campaigns. They've worked very, very hard. They failed the first time. They came back. And now they crossed the finish line by 16 votes following the same rules that we applied for candidate nomination papers. Why should I ignore that? Thompson said. The whole state is just going to think that this whole thing is rigged.
Oh, don't say that,
Mark. To take care of power.
Oh, man. Okay, so what are these specific issues? Found rigged. This one over at the AP, Scott Bauer, on the ABC News. Let's see here. Election Commission staff had determined that petition circulators submitted 16 more valid signatures than needed to force the recall. But the commission broke with the staff recommendation today and threw out an additional 188 signatures because they were collected beyond the 60-day petition circulation window. Now, recall organizers argued that they should be counted because the submission deadline was extended by 2 days due to the Memorial Day holiday. But commission members who pushed for rejecting the signatures said that the law allowed for moving the date for filing the petition, but that the 60-day deadline for collecting signatures remained unchanged.
Damn it! This is so demoralizing.
So close.
Not to me, per se.
So close.
This was such a fool's errand to begin with, Dom. But to see it fall so close, yet so far away. This stings a little. Yeah, it hurts. Tastes like burning.
The group that was attempting to do this, to recall, said this. The Wisconsin Election Commission has silenced Racine County. They took the easiest off-ramp and denied our constitutional right to recall Robin Voss, who is shielding Commission Administrator Megan Wolf, the WEC Commissioner, and has appointed multiple WEC chairs who voted against the recall.
And he's down for China. Somehow they've decided.
Voss has appointed just one chair of the commission, Molly Beck notes. Despite collecting well over the required signatures, the commission, led by Wolf, ignored the attorney's recommendations to certify the recall petition, the group posted. Now more than ever, we must vote out Robin Voss and demand the dismantling of the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
I don't understand, and I mean this sincerely, I don't understand why they would overrule these staff attorneys. I mean, I don't know why four of the six, because Mark and Ann Jacobs decided these were valid, as these staff attorneys had recommended. If you've extended because of a holiday, I mean, now you're going to go and split the infinitive on these guys? You're going to use that as the justification? Oh, some of these were collected during the extension period, but we only extended the time. We didn't extend the time? You know what I mean? What a...
The extent of the time for the filing,
I get it.
But
I get
the collection
it.
Dates are still the collection dates. I mean, it's a...
I understand.
It's an answer. It's an answer.
Very legalese kind of an answer. But the legalese of the staff attorneys is being ignored by the broader commission, Dom, and that means one of the Democrats also opposed. But what about the Republicans? I mean, what's up with your team? You guys are protecting Robin Voss. I mean, it sure does have that appearance to throw it out on a technicality after you made them go back and do this twice. Do it twice? I'm not even sure if they got a candidate. You made them go collect signatures during an election year when Robin Voss is already on the ballot twice. Now he could have been on the ballot four different times. They could have taken pot shots at this guy all year. But no, because of a filing date extension question, which wasn't clarified on the front end.
Right.
But now is apparently being clarified on the back end.
Yes.
Seems very rigged.
It's rigged. No, come on, man. It's rigged. It's not rigged. If they would have had the signatures, you know, in that original 60 days, we wouldn't be here. Wouldn't even be. That's the thing about this. And you have people that have their signatures challenged all the time.
Maybe they could have cleared the hurdle by more than 16 signatures.
Well, perhaps. Right. Or got the dates. I mean, there's lots of different things. And it's not uncommon, certainly, for those who would be the subject of a challenge at a regular election or the recall to look through your opponent's paperwork. Make sure they dotted the I's and crossed the T's. That happens all the time.
Robin Voss, apparently, personally did that the last time, too. Like, I looked through every one of these 11,000 signatures.
He's making a list, man.
I got out the phone book because, you know, Google's not good enough. Got to get
the OG out.
The white pages out.
Yeah. So it's if you don't want to have to be in these kinds of situations, you gotta give yourself some cushion. Greater than 2 days of a Memorial Day and greater than 16 votes.
Well, we've talked an awful lot in the state of Wisconsin about having confidence in the elections and the elections process. And I would say I've always been a supporter of the WEC, at least in its current form. I prefer the Government Accountability Board,
yeah, right,
which were a bunch of retired judges, which was the model for the nation until, you know, God forbid someone looked at the campaign finance corruption of Scott Walker.
How dare you?
How dare you indeed? So they eliminated that and they came up with this bipartisan board. But ultimately, their job is to rubber stamp most of this stuff. And then, unless there's a really damn good reason, and I'm not sure that there is, I mean, should they be putting up this many hurdles to a recall election? Should they?
I mean, is it a hurdle or is it just the way it's been and it came up because it's an issue?
Well, you've got a question of changing legislative districts, right? I mean, this is the new maps in the middle of this.
Right, right.
The new maps complicated.
They were supposed to determine today which district, the old or the new, right? That was going to be part of that discussion for the WEC today.
But instead, they threw out 188 signatures. They didn't say the signatures weren't valid. Just collected during a grace period, an extension period that apparently was only for the filing, but not for the collection.
Correct.
So let's get rid of all of them.
Also from the AP, commenting on Commissioner, our friend Mark Thompson, urging the panel not to block the recall over what he called a technicality. Quote, why should I ignore these 6,000 folks and their right to recall?
6,850 plus.
Haven't they met their burden to at least get the vote? Republican Commissioner Don Millis, who was appointed by Voss, made the motion to reject the petition for not having
Shocker.
Valid signatures. I disagree with the idea that we're giving Rep. Voss a pass, Millis said.
The guy that appointed me to the panel.
I feel very strongly.
See Eileen Cannon down in Florida. Very similar circumstance.
He feels very strongly, Crudy, that any signatures collected on those 2 days, May 27th and May 28th, are not valid. I don't think that we're denying anyone's right to recall. It's certainly a close call in terms of the number of signatures.
Thank goodness the guy that put me on this panel that I could return the favor today by throwing out on a technicality the valid recall effort according to the WEC staff attorneys. But you know, if the Voss appointee thinks it's a bad idea and he gets a couple of his cronies to go along with him, like
one of the Dems also, it wasn't just Thompson and Jacobson, the other Dem.
No, let's not forget Bob Spindell.
Bob Spindell. Who's that guy again?
You know, this has been a roller coaster, this Robin Voss recall.
It really has been. I mean, for us to even talk about it, I can't imagine those folks on the ground. Are they gonna go try again? Try again. Can you try again? I would do it if I were you. I
mean, theoretically,
third time's the charm, right? Come on, do it. Do it.
Once
do it
bitten,
now.
Once bitten, twice shy. Twice bitten, rigged recall. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Big debate tonight. Hope you're coming to the party. I expect you at the Barrymore Theater. But we got a big show in the meantime. Turning our attention to the UW system. Blame the GOP for wrecking it.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the political party line, the lines. Talk or text 844-967-2789.
It is a Thursday. The damn sure feels like a Friday, Dom, because it's a party night. Got you in Madison with me. Got lots of friends joining us at the Barrymore Theater. About 7 o'clock, we'll do a panel discussion. We got Maggie Dawn coming to town. Joining us on the stage, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, New Marquette University Law School polling. We'll go a little deeper inside the numbers with Charles. And bring a little money for the bar. It's cash bar.
Oh, damn, cash bar.
And the most important presidential debate of your lifetime. And, you know, the Devil's Advocates to commiserate with. So how could you not win by showing up at the Barrymore Theater? And the admission is free, so, you know, you got to love the price as well. Party night, party night.
If it's free, Crudy, it's for me, and I'll take three.
Let's talk about the UW system. Once upon a time, they were sitting on surpluses, Dom.
Yeah.
And then Republicans got wind. And they decided they were going to start, let's just say, tampering.
Well, I mean, you can't have those, you know, aging hippie professors sitting on too much money. You never know what they're going to do.
Well, now we've got a UW system teetering on the brink of crisis. And Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times says, blame Wisconsin Republicans for UW's financial crisis.
Okay, yeah. Dave, if you say so.
They were in charge.
They were.
A little over 10 years ago, the fiscal Republican geniuses running the Wisconsin legislature decided it was outrageous for the University of Wisconsin system to be sitting on a budget surplus, bolstered by their soulmate, Gubernator Scotty Wanker Walker. Those Republicans immediately set out to ensure the system's campuses spent down their surpluses, though many UW officials argued they were necessary to prepare for a rainy day.
I mean, wasn't Scott Walker always so proud about the rainy day fund? Oh, we got so much money in the rainy day fund. I mean, what, so the UW system shouldn't, you know, budget properly?
Well, it should be up to politicians to budget for the UW system, Dom. That was their decision. And Zweifel writes, well, as the old Frank Sinatra song laments, here's that rainy day. Sinatra was rhapsodizing that he should have saved those leftover dreams. But the UW is now wishing it had those leftover dollars, as several of its campuses are now in a financial hole. They're closing two-year schools, cutting classes, downsizing faculty, and worrying about what the future holds. And this, unfortunately, is what happens when governmental funding succumbs to elected officials who use those funds as political tools for short-term gain. I always thought Scotty Wanker was a political tool, Dom. It happened time and again in Wisconsin back in 1978. A flamboyant educator named Lee Sherman Dreyfus, the red vest guy, Dom, used a state budget surplus to get himself elected as governor. He promised to give everyone a $200 tax rebate.
Yeah, woohoo!
Two Benjamins in every pot. Sure enough, the economy had soured 4 years later in Wisconsin under a new governor since Republican Dreyfus decided not to run again, had to raise taxes to fill the deficit. The same thing happened a few years later when GOP's Tommy Thompson decided a budget surplus merited a rebate, only to face a new deficit that required more state revenue from whipsawed taxpayers. Not a word I use often. But this current UW crisis is much more egregious. One could argue that tax rebates engineered by previous Republicans weren't malicious actions, but just a short-term political gambit while conveniently ignoring the realities of the boom and bust cycles of the U.S. economy. All politicians know what good times are often followed by bad. But why not take advantage of the boom when it can garner lots of votes and let someone else worry about the bust?
Crudy Dave's Weeful at the Cap Times, the assault on the UW budget,
though. Wasn't that the
whole
Foxconn plan?
Pretty
much. Let someone else worry about the bust?
It was mean-spirited and aimed at punishing the highly regarded system for all sorts of perceived sins. Too many liberal professors, alleged canceling of conservative voices at school functions, supposed coddling of student activists, and worst of all, Crudy, promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion programs aimed at recruiting and retaining faculty and students of color. UW's critics were among the most outspoken in the legislature's Republican caucuses. The outspoken longtime UW critic Steve Nass was chair of the Assembly's Education Committee at the time. He salivated over the disclosure that the system was running a surplus. The Speaker, Robin Voss, feigned outrage, and the then Senate Majority Leader demanded that heads should roll. In the end, the GOP used the budget process to freeze tuition. To limit tuition increases during a time of surpluses was no brainer, they said, and they kept it up for 8 years. Now, putting a freeze on a university tuition isn't necessarily a bad idea, particularly when the cost of higher education is soaring. But state governments typically offset the loss of tuition revenue with increases in state support.
Not when Republicans do it, Don. That's how you get really fiscally prudent.
Instead, Wisconsin didn't increase that support. And now, astonishingly, state government funding for its higher education system ranks number 42 in the nation, Crudy. Even Mississippi spends more.
What'd they say about Walker? Wanted us to become Mississippi.
Mississippi. When the UW system was created in 1974, merging the Madison campus and its branches in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Parkside with the state's college campuses, the state provided 43% of the system's revenue. Today, state support has dropped below a paltry 14%.
And understand, the 14% partners think they should run the joint.
Want to dictate everything.
Everything.
It's little wonder that UW Oshkosh is now deep in debt, needs to borrow money, or that six other campuses must either cut more or find other means to balance their budgets. It would take about $440 million to bring the state to the median level of funding Yet no one among the state's GOP leaders seemed concerned. Republican lawmakers spent more than a decade waging war on public education in Wisconsin, including our UW system and higher education institutions, Evers said. They have consistently refused to make the necessary meaningful investments our state and our campuses desperately need to compete and that our students deserve.
Yeah, but you got a tax cut.
He's got a tax cut.
There's more there. There's still meat on this bone. We'll come back, discuss Zweifel a little bit more and the UW system. I got a kid going to UW.
Lacrosse.
Porn you. Yeah.
Porn you. Man. See what happens? You got those teachers and professors that are getting their OnlyFans page. And
well, if you don't fund the UW system properly, people go out there and seek, you know, alternative ways
to make
money.
You
got
to do what you got to do. You got to buy supplies for the students, I guess.
When are we going to announce the rollout of our OnlyFans page?
It's coming soon. Maybe tonight at the big party. But seriously, Crudy, state funding, 43% to below 14.
We're
worse than Mississippi. This is terrible.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We're better than Mississippi.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thursday feels like a Friday because we're partying up in here. I got Dominic with me. Got Rich on the board. Got you on the phones. If you start dialing, 844-967-2789. And I got a kid going to the UW system, Dom, and I'm concerned because for a decade or more, Republicans have been starving it of the needed funds. And now we got a crisis, maybe not at UW La Crosse, but at many of the state schools. Hell, man, we've lost, what, like 4 2-year state schools in the last year and a half?
Yeah, it's not good.
What about those that want to stay close to home, get some cheap credits, you know, knock out the basic studies?
Right.
Maybe, as the guidance counselor told me my senior year in high school, maybe not everyone's mature enough for college.
Or the Army.
Well, I joined the college scene, and then I decided for myself I was too immature for college and should join the Army.
And then you came back so mature.
But not because the guidance counselor told me. I have matured in many ways since you first met me.
But you know how Republicans get so just outraged about DEI? I mean, they're just so mad that anyone would possibly want to consider, you know, someone's race and focus on inclusion and these things. It's terrible for them. This is some sort of indoctrination of the youth.
Well, they're all white men. They want their white men ideology, you know, with a good side dose of Christianity and, you know, a little misogyny for good measure.
it's a flavor for MAGA for sure.
Well, that's what they want, Dom, and, you know, these damn liberals teaching the kids, indoctrinating them, you
into
know,
inclusion, to not saying the N-word. You know what I mean? Well, what is absolutely so terrible about teaching people, not just children or young adults, everybody, that everyone has a right to exist. It should be harmonious. You don't have to agree or like a lifestyle or something, but it's none of your business. And why do you care? Let them live their lives like you want to live yours.
Dom, if you want to be woke, you can live in some blue state, but we here in the red state that they would hope Wisconsin is, well, it's not against their strategy to basically discourage your residency. I got my daughter coming home on Monday. She lives in California now. She doesn't live here. Your daughter, I don't know if you noticed that, but she crossed the river. She lives in different states.
She lives in Minnesota now, right?
You know, a lot of the kids move away if they're woke enough.
Or if they can't find a school nearby or if
school
gets too expensive.
Or they want autonomy over their own body,
well,
let's
I mean,
say.
Let's not get crazy now. This is up to the white Republican men in this country to let the women know who's got autonomy over their body when they decide to let them know.
But those people weren't going to vote for Team Voss anyways. Team Republican, those young woke people. So if you got to push them to go to some out-of-state school, all the better. Wisconsin needs welders, right, Scott Walker?
That's what Walker said. A little bit more from this Dave Zweifel piece at the Cap Times. We will bring it to conclusion. I will re-quote Governor Tony Evers. Republican lawmakers have spent more than a decade waging war on public education in Wisconsin, including our UW system and higher education institutions. They have consistently refused to make necessary, meaningful investments in our state and our campuses desperately need to compete and that our students deserve. Now, Evers has pledged to propose a record $800 million hike in UW funding in the next two-year budget he sends to the legislature. State Senator Kilda Royce told the Badger Herald student newspaper that it's important to say that the tuition freeze was unfunded. So it was just another way to essentially cut funding to the universities under the guise of doing something that was politically popular. Thankfully, UW-Madison has been able to escape the fiscal crisis so far. That's reassuring, and if Evers can convince the legislature that it needs to quit starving our gem of an educational system, there may be some hope for the future. If not, this batch of Wisconsin Republicans will go down in history as the ones who took a world-class system that has long made Wisconsin proud and turned it into a struggling, mediocre institution of higher learning, so saith Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times. And again, 43% funding down to less than 14%. And they want to rule it all.
Yeah. We give you 14% of the money, so we should have 100% of the say on how all the money is spent. And if we want to starve you and force you to close campuses, fire faculty, because, you know,
DEI,
we just aren't down for the diversity. I mean, how they held up the raises for the entire UW system,
yeah,
right?
Right.
I mean, nothing like being terrorists to an entire university system. Statewide, because what's that do to the good employees, Dom? They always like being crapped on, right?
Well, I mean, they're probably voting for the Democratic Party anyway, so to hell with them.
They don't deserve races then.
Oh, I mean, yeah, and the ones that would vote for us, well, we'll be happy to martyr their raises in support of our greater mission. Thank you. Thank you.
Isn't Robin Voss a UW Whitewater grad?
I believe he claims to be.
He owns a lot of rental properties down there, sticking it to a few of the students to this day.
You know, those students probably get some student loans that can help, or I'll even get some grants and some credits that help for not just tuition, but also for, you know, housing.
Well, otherwise, mom and dad better cough up, because the UW is not going to be funded by the taxpayers, not beyond 14%.
I mean, it's just terrible.
Aren't we sitting on a $7 billion surplus?
I mean, that's the number I heard recently. I haven't seen a number updated.
Well, here's the indefensible part. A couple of things. Now, the failure to expand Medicaid in the state of Wisconsin, because that's cost us billions. That
continues to, has, and what we're
and it's
billions
bad for,
and billions.
It's bad for like 36,000 Wisconsinites that would otherwise qualify, but don't have this free to them healthcare. Because, you know, Obama.
No, Scott Walker.
They're still fighting the war against Obama.
Yeah,
dude.
Scott Walker came up with Wisconsin's own unique system for expanding Badger care in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, they didn't expand it. They actually reduced the caps. They forced a lot of single adults, low-income adults with children off of Badger care through this process. And they did not expand, which they could have, up to 136% of poverty. They didn't expand the eligibility of Medicaid. So we did it our unique wanker way, which was bad for the budget and bad for the constituents. But, you know, you got to put it on his resume when he had that successful presidential run. Oh, yeah, not so successful.
And we're still paying the price for that now because of what? Because Republicans don't want to take the federal money because they're very concerned about, you know, how long that federal money will continue.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been a decade that we haven't been taking the money that we're entitled to because we, Wisconsin taxpayers, contribute. We just don't get ours back. So that's indefensible. But the treatment of the UW system. UW Richland Center closed. I believe there's like three other two-year campuses that are closing. UW Oshkosh, what, had a blowout 100 faculty? 100 faculty. I'm sure they weren't doing anything, just teaching kids or something. You
know, underwater basket weaving and DEI.
Well, they couldn't all be teaching underwater basket weaving and DEI. That'd be a lot of offerings in those two categories, though. Well,
what do you think the Republicans, what do you think their impression is of what goes on in these universities? I'm really curious. I mean, I would imagine most of them, some of them, have went to some of these schools.
I'm not clear. Like, education has changed since they let black kids on campus. I'm not sure.
Right.
What their perception of what goes on campus. But, you know, they don't welcome young Nazis with open arms to come speak. Well, not without consequence, not without someone perhaps protesting. And that's happened at the UW a couple times. And, oh, that outrageous, you know, right-wing talk radio. And, of course, Steve Das and Robin Voss. You know, and the Republican legislative gang, Dom, because it's very important that, you know, their ideology be accepted on campus, but DEI, not so much.
If Nazis and nationalists are being criticized for their ideology and Republicans take that personally, maybe they should reconsider their ideology if you can't handle the criticism.
Well, they don't usually show up in brown shirts with the swastikas.
Usually.
Just with the ideology.
And the occasional Stars and Bars Confederate flag.
844-967-2789. Dom, I know your greatest concern about the RNC of Milwaukee has been that the Nazis are going to show up. Well, at least they would probably do a little commerce in the city. They might buy some lunch, eat something, Dom. And anyways, moving on from the schools, unless you want to play a part, 844-967-2789. But Dom, RNC... underwhelming so far. All reports are nobody knows how to party, at least not these Republicans.
Man, I've been telling you, I've been saying it. We went to Cleveland. It's not a great party. And I'm seeing reports now.
The RNC in Cleveland was a horrible party.
I mean, we had a good time at the Winking Lizard and everyone around us. I mean, we always make the party. But no, the people we talked to, the businesses around, lots of them did not get what they were expecting. In Cleveland. And now I've seen reports, 40,000 people expected in Milwaukee. I was like, wait, what?
Wasn't it 50,000?
Wasn't it 50,000? Now it's 40,000. Well, okay, maybe it was a typo, but that seems like a lot less than 50,000.
That's like a 20% reduction in the turnout. There couldn't be that many of the delegates charged for the January 6th, could there, Tom?
Not yet.
So... probably not attrition per se through the legal systems. Maybe. But there is some reporting, Dom, and the recombobulation blog, our friend Dan Schaefer, we should have him on the show more
often. It's been a while. Yeah, he's a good
guy. Why don't you do your job and book somebody? No, I'm teasing. I also know Dan, at least a little bit. Special report, RNC bookings. Underwhelming and a failure.
Just like their candidate.
Event venues and restaurants raise concerns. Oh, they're concerned. The Riverside Theater and Pabst Theater will sit empty during the convention, Dom. And some downtown restaurant owners worry over a lack of activity with the RNC just weeks away. Lack of activity, Dom. We will bring the party to Milwaukee, have no doubt. Milwaukee is preparing for a busy week with the RNC coming to town. But with just weeks to go before the convention begins, some are raising concerns about the lackluster level of events being booked during the convention, raising questions about whether the convention will deliver on promises of economic impact.
It won't.
Now, Gary Wood, president and CEO of the Pabst Theater Group, told the Recombobulation Area that the majority of the group venues will have no events booked for the RNC.
Terrible.
Zero.
Terrible.
Two of downtown Milwaukee's most iconic venues, the Pabst Theater and Riverside Theater, will likely sit empty during the convention, he said, as will the Vivarium and the Fitzgerald, which are both located on Milwaukee's east side. Turner Hall Ballroom will host a yet-to-be-announced organization, but that arrangement was made for the DNC in 2020 before the convention went mostly virtual. Would characterize the RNC planning as underwhelming and a failure. It's 100% a case of overpromise, underdeliver on all parts by everybody.
Not everybody, Gary. I've been warning you.
We were told it was going to be one way over and over and over again when the RNC was confirmed. And it has turned out to be almost anything but that way that we were told it was going to turn out. We were sold a storyline of how this is going to go, and basically it didn't do anything at all like the storyline we were told. Wood also said the Pabst Theater Group is in constant contact with everyone else in town that does what we do. And I'm hearing the same thing from them.
Not, you know, good. Yeah, not
the
good.
Difference between the DNC in Philadelphia and the RNC in Cleveland in 2016, and we were at both events. The DNC, they partied.
That was a lot of fun.
Democrats tear it up. They have a good time. You better be showing up at the Barrymore Theater tonight, showing us a good time. I'm counting on all of you to be there. But Republicans, they don't know how to party, Dom. You know, sitting around drinking Bud Light and complaining that
playing
they're taking
rock.
Their jobs. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Please join us. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're talking about this piece at the Recombobulation area. Our pal Dan Schaefer talking to some folks downtown, Gary Witt over at Pabst Theater and others, saying that the RNC is not, you know, not coming in and booking up like they thought they would. A little bit more to this, and we'll take your calls again, 844-967-2789. The RNC is set to take place July 15th through the 18th. In recent weeks, other event venues have pivoted from hosting RNC-related events. The Rave, love the Rave, had planned to host events related to the convention, but is now hosting a concert featuring the band 30 Seconds to Mars, with venue co-owner Leslie West telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that there's been silence, West says, on booking RNC events. In an early April story from the New York Times with the headline, "In Milwaukee, restaurants and venues worry of seeing limited RNC boost," it was reported that the Milwaukee Art Museum would not be hosting private events, citing cost and desire not to entangle the museum with politics. However, since then, the Milwaukee Art Museum announced it would partner with Bayer to provide free admission to the museum during regular hours throughout the convention. That's cool. It's a nice museum. Gary Witt says his concern about event booking and activity in the city during the RNC is less about the venues he operates and more about the impact on the city to host his convention. His quote, "This business that we own operates only in the city of Milwaukee, and for us to succeed, the city of Milwaukee has to succeed. And at this point in time, I don't see the RNC delivering that kind of success, that kind of anticipated economic impact that everyone was high-fiving and champagne popping and press conferencing about. At this point in time, none of that really has come true for the most part." Ouch! Schaefer obtained a copy of the message sent from Witt to leaders of the RNC and Visit Milwaukee in late May, where he raised concerns about lack of interest in booking for the convention. Part of that message, quote, "While I am saddened about the lack of business in our venues, I'm even more concerned about how this incredibly disappointing lack of events will impact our restaurants and small event spaces who might not be able to afford being closed for a week." Witt puts the blame on this at, puts the blame for this at the RNC, not Visit Milwaukee. "I think Visit Milwaukee has worked very hard on this completely. They put a lot of time and effort, but they can only control so much." He said the response Witt received from the RNC after sending the message, he said, was disappointing, much like their candidate. "I think there was basically a kind of throwing up the arms moment for them where they made claims that they never promised we'd be booked. And I'm like, and like I said, first and foremost, this is not about me and about us only. This is about the city in general. And frankly, the RNC did promise because they talked about the economic impact for the city. And I believe they talked about that economic impact being about, what, $200 million. I think they claimed similarly in Cleveland. as well. You can find more on this, more detailed, Dan Schaefer, for the recombobulation area. But I'm not surprised, and it is concerning. And you're talking about, you know, people not even opening their business. Some folks are going to be closed down. Man, Mothership down in Bayview, my neck of the woods, they're like, oh, hell no, we're not hosting any of these folks. We're shutting down. So I think there's a lot of that going on. But what brings up the point, you know, a lot of the, it's a tough business, you know, being in that kind of environment, you know, the offering the food and the drinks and the events. I mean, margins are tough. It's always tough, man. Being in business is tough. And when you have something like this come in and everyone's like, yeah, let's do it. And then you don't see the actual bookings come to fruition. I mean, I get it. We all want to have positive thoughts about, you know, conventions coming to the city, but come on, man, this is not good. We told you about Cleveland. We've been telling you about Cleveland. Cleveland, that was a long time ago. We've been saying this over and over and over again. They don't know how to do it. The Dems, they know how to do it. Now, granted, last
party,
time
that is,
it was, you know, we had the virus, right? The pandemic, so that was terrible. But in 16, it was clear who was dialed in, who was going out on the town, spending the money, and having a good time. It was not the RNC, dude.
Maybe Hillary should have spent more time with the Wisconsin contingent. They were partiers. Here's some good news for Milwaukee Dem. The RNC will bring us. We'll be in Milwaukee. You live there, so it's not much of a commute. But we will be on Brady Street broadcasting live. We're going to do some special events for the people so you can join us at the RNC. You know, or at least the protest platform that we have immediately outside the green zone, sort of, kind of, on Brady Street. But you know who is coming, Dom?
Who?
Jon Stewart and I believe Stephen Colbert are both broadcasting their respective shows live. Jon Stewart will host The Daily Show live in Milwaukee on July 18th, the final night of the Republican National Convention being held here. The Comedy Central program will broadcast from the Marcus Performing Arts Center throughout the convention. So they're doing four nights. And I thought Colbert was doing his show from Milwaukee as well. You know, he's had a bad habit of trash-talking Milwaukee. Maybe not as much as Trump did. Didn't call it horrible or anything.
Oh, Fox News will be broadcasting. Remember, they're going to be here.
Well, they'll be in the Deer District
the whole time. Yep. Based on the gathered place in the Deer District, including the late-night show Gutfield with a live studio audience. Woohoo!
Gutfield getting sworn at by Milwaukeeans up by the Deer District? Well, you got to figure, though, they're putting that in the credentialed zone, right? So if you don't have credentials, you wouldn't be able to
hang on
and look at Gutfield in all his glory.
Less than
set.
3 weeks to go before the RNC, Witt said there's also been a great deal of confusion surrounding the event planning. I don't think the RNC were great communicators. I think the mantra was just to continue to wait. I think because of that wait has turned into tremendous disappointment. Because you're told to be patient, then your patient leads to nothing. And then, like my conversation with the RNC, there's no one taking responsibility to try to make it any better. They're now backing away from it and trying to say, we never promised you anything.
Very much like the Trump campaign.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great RNC. Best RNC ever.
I don't care about you. I just want your vote.
Most honest thing he ever said.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We got a fine show. Greatest radio show ever. And that is the most honest thing I ever said.